and I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them. Welcome to a special edition Tuesday, Tuesday morning at 9 p.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and today we are going to be talking to the great Mark Doblos. He was on All My Children and Daniel Coulson. One Life to Live is Theodore Daniel Coulson. He was on both of the same people. Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Guiding Light at Dr. Noah Seitz, who I loved. And The Follows. And Everyone Loves Raymond. And, oh, I love the Home Improvement at Scott. Okay, everyone, here's Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hello, how are you?
I hope I said your name, last name right.
Yeah, Mark Dobie. You got it.
Okay. I know you want to talk about your fitness stuff first, and let's do that. I went on your website, and you're doing an awesome job with it.
Thank you. We've got a new wellness platform that's be coming out probably mid-September, and we're focused more on corporate wellness right now, and very unique. And we'll be announcing a lot of it on Facebook and before the company comes out. But we got a very exciting platform, very goal-oriented, and we're really looking forward to getting it off the ground.
I saw on the website something about trampoline, and that looked fun. The whole trampoline idea looked really good. I will probably kill myself doing that, but it will be worth it. So can you tell us a little more about that?
We have a variety of programs that we offer to people, trampoline being one of them. Of course, you're dealing with a lot of balance and a lot of control. Easy for everybody to do. You're looking at a little bit of high intensity training, which gets your heart rate going up. You burn more calories over a period of time. It's just a really fun way to get people involved in the exercise. It's really fun. You can work at your own fitness level, and any age. It really depends upon where you are. So it's just a variety of programs that we incorporate for clients. That don't have a lot of time, but they really want to get a really good workout in. And we also focus on the nutritional aspects and the lifestyle mindset changes that go along with wellness, corporate wellness and fitness. And the one thing that I really have to say, which we try to educating people as much as possible, and the one mindset that people have to grasp is that you – diet and exercise are not mutually exclusive. They go hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other. So we try to change people's mindsets as far as getting a little bit of exercise, watching what they eat, but not get overwhelmed with, calorie intake and that type of thing. But small changes. We're looking at changing mindsets and having them move forward in life, and then hopefully we'll get, they'll reach other people through the through their corporation, and we get a bit of a trickle-down effect with everybody.
Oh, cool. And when did you start this? How long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been doing seminars and corporate wellness for the last 7-8 years. I've got several corporate clients that I work exclusively with right now. But I've been doing, insofar as fitness, it's my other passion outside of acting and writing right now. And it's something I've been doing my entire life. So it's something that I can actually give back, and I enjoy it. It's a need because, once again, we've got a lot of people in the country, unfortunately, we're in an epidemic of overweight and obese Americans. It's upwards of like 75% to 80%. So it's not just something that a luxury. It's just it's a necessity right now in this country. So yeah, we've been doing this for quite a while, and we're real excited about putting up a new platform. And once again, I'll be announcing the company, and everybody can get involved outside of the corporate arena as well. But we'll have some stuff coming up on Facebook and Twitter, and also through our marketing arm to get people involved in the platform. It's a wonderful platform. We've got a great nutrition aspect. That's what we're going to set up with it as well. And it's basically, we do a lot of stuff that's actually goal-oriented. It's a new type of platform that really no one is doing right now.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, when it gets more, you know, when it gets more up there, you're so welcome to, you know, come back and, you know, talk about the launch and everything.
I will absolutely do that. I will absolutely do that.
Yeah. And I fell in love with you on AMC and Guiding Light. I want you to be my doctor on Guiding Light. I will say this, and I don't mean to make you blush, but dang it, you were hot. You were on Guiding Light when you played
right.
Dr. Noah.
Right.
Uh-huh. You did so good on there. And, you know, I enjoyed you. And then when you went to AMC in One Life to Live as Teddy, the kind of crazy guy, I mean, not really, but what was that like? Because, you know, Teddy was, Daniel, you know, what was
Daniel
that
Paulson.
Like? Cause,
well, I mean, the character, that was a lot of fun to play. I love playing. Dr. Noah Chase was actually a very, very interesting character. They actually gave me the reins to do a lot of comedy, and which I did. And it was also wonderful playing with Kim Zimmer, without a doubt. That was
mm-hmm.
a lot of fun. And I equate acting to fun. You got to have a good time when you're doing it. But, you know, we had some great material. We were able to explore a lot about the subtle nuances of the character. I wish I could have taken that character a little further, but, you know, unfortunately that's the way TV is. Things come and go. But that was probably one of my favorite characters to play. I just had such a great time playing Dr. Noah Chase. And on One Life to Live, the scenario with Daniel Coulson was he was a sociopath. And
yeah,
that was
a bad person.
Yeah, he was a sick individual, and that was really, it took a lot of research on my part to deal with a character who was really in love with nobody but himself, and I really had to take that from a sociopathic standpoint, because he really didn't know, he knew what he was doing, but he had no remorse whatsoever, so.
No, he did not.
No. And it's playing a detachment from reality, from the things that are going on around you. Nothing really to do with his sexual preferences. It was a man looking for anything to bring him higher, and no matter what stood in his way, he murdered the love of my son's life. So the man was really kind of a sick individual as far as that's concerned. But I had a you know, once again, like I said, I had a fun time playing the role, because you're able to go to those, try to get to those places and try to understand them, and bring a character together that really had no remorse, even in the end, when with Nora, where he was, he just had no remorse for what he did. And
oh, no, he did not.
Yeah, and that's, to keep that mindset as you were going through that was very difficult, because with the character, any kind of violence really begets violence with him. So there's really nothing you could do insofar as placating him, or, like, once again, trying to appeal to a side where are you remorseful for what you've done. And that's really how I had to play that final scene, which I wrote. They allowed me to write that final scene.
Wow. That was very powerful.
Yeah. It's just what his mindset was. I'm guilty, but whatever. What do you want me to say? So that was very, very, you know, it's you know, if you're lucky enough as an actor, once in a while you get to play a character where you face challenges and you can stretch yourself as an actor, and that was definitely one of them. That definitely was one of them.
Yeah, how was booking with Hillary Smith and Robert Woods, and
wonderful. I mean, they're great. You know, ultimate professionals. You know, bring everything to the table, and very, very, you know, easy to play across from. So, no, we had a great, Hillary and I had a great relationship on the show. So, you know, as far as acting and working together. So, yeah, it's once again, I was fortunate enough to play across from really seasoned actors, and which made my job a lot easier. So, once again, every once in a while as an actor, you're fortunate to be able to do those roles. And Not recently, actually, you know, we did a film, an independent feature film out in Arkansas that's not out yet. Hopefully it'll come out at some particular point. But I was actually able to delve into my past as a football player. I played college football.
Awesome.
And I played the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. And with Neil McDonough was in the film too, and it was just a great cast. And it was a true story called Greater. So hopefully, the way independent feature films go, it's once they're in the can and they do the editing, you never know when they're going to come out or if they're going to come out. So you just do your job and hope for the best. But I was able to bring a lot of the things that I learned as a college athlete and playing football my entire life and dealing with coaches and halftime speeches and, you know, their nuances and bring that to the table. And that was quite a lot of fun. Working down at the University of Arkansas too was a really good, big thrill for myself.
Well, I love football. I cannot wait for football season to start. I'm just ready for it. It's been a long season off. Who is your favorite team right now in the NFL?
Philadelphia Eagles. Born and raised in Philadelphia.
Mark.
Time Eagles fan. My father actually, when I as a kid, he basically laid a Penn State jersey on my bed and an Eagles cap and said, "Here you go." And from there, it was Penn State, you know, the Eagles. But primarily. Yeah, if there is a fanatic fan, and I know there are a lot of them in Philadelphia, I'm one of them. I'm still waiting for that elusive Super Bowl to come our way.
Well, yeah, I love the Seahawks. I'm in Seattle. And, yes, I'm not over what happened last year with the Super Bowl. I will never be over it. We should kick those Patriots behind. But, yeah, I love football season. My grandfather got me into it. Back then, I was supposed to love the Raiders and Denver Broncos. Well, I disobeyed on the Denver Broncos thing. But, you know, but, yeah, football season is upon us, which is awesome. And you have calls, but I cannot wait. When you find out your movie, the football movie is coming up, please come back. Because we promote the heck of it. And let me bring on calls. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Carly. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. You know, Mark, just a minute ago you mentioned how you're a big Eagles fan. Well, I'm looking forward to their upcoming season now that we got DeMarco Murray in town. Because I tweeted a lot to his wife because she used to have been on Passions. And I have asked her about doing anything in Philadelphia and even predicted a Eagles Super Bowl against the Broncos with the Eagles winning it.
Well, that would be a good thing. If we get there and win, it would be a great thing.
Yeah.
No, we'll see.
Right. But I'm also a Steelers fan, and since I'm from North Carolina, I got to cheer for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
So.
Well, like I said, if we can get back there, Chip Kelly, I hope he's doing, you know, great job. And you know, once again, it's we're the only team in the NFC East that hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. So,
yeah.
If
it weren't for Tom Brady in 10 years ago, I think you guys could have won it. It's just because everything went right because you had the right materials, and then T.O. wanted to act up and leave town, and everything just went completely downhill for your team for a while until they got Coach Kelly in.
Chip Kelly came in. Yeah, you know, it's a game of inches. You know, it's a game of inches. It goes either way.
Right.
At like last year's Super Bowl, which I believe was the biggest bonehead call.
I agree, because the Seahawks were like a 3-yard rush, not pass, from making it to the Super Bowl. And if that guy didn't drop intercept the ball, I believe Wilson or Marshall would have run. We couldn't see the whole Super Bowl, and maybe Brandon Marshall saying, "I'm going to Disney World," despite everything that he had said prior to that about how he was just only at the press conferences to not be fined and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking, to say the least.
Yeah, but I want to just say also that I'm currently right now at a rec center walking outside. It's a little bit cloudy and rainy right now, but I'm just walking because I usually do about 3 minutes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday up and downstairs, and Tuesday and Thursday walking around track for about 40 minutes. So I just kind of like want to just keep try to lose as much weight as possible because I've been like where I have gone up and down for years over losing weight, and I thought about doing the Biggest Loser until I realized that all that intense training that they do on that show would probably kill me, and I'm age 40 and I'm not used to that kind of training and stuff like that.
Well, you have to be. There's a lot of you got to be very careful with, like, you know, exercise programs and mm-hmm. Things that you see on the market, videos and DVDs. Most of them, you know, they sit on the shelf. Most exercise equipment you have, it's going to sit in the closet. A lot of programs are very irresponsible. I'm not going to mention some of them, but once again, the mantra that I go by is the simplest exercise done right is more beneficial mm-hmm. than the most complicated exercise done wrong. Your body gives you credit for everything that you do. And the biggest thing with what we're doing with our company, once again, is which no one else is really doing, is we look at a goal-oriented mindset-changing system that is that takes it one step at a time. And you try to reach your goals, you get to as many, you cannot be overwhelmed by them, but you got to continue to move. And once again, you have to have the mindset that diet is what we eat, and you have to exercise. You can't have one. I don't make up the rules, and that's the easiest thing to say. I don't make up the rules. Diet and exercise go together. You've got to do both. But if you're walking and doing simple things, all you really need, you don't have to get complicated. You do not have to get complicated. Exercise, I can show people that you get a complete workout, and it does not have to be complicated. Most people can't do a squat thrust or a burpee or some of these things. They don't have the physical capability of doing them. No one's watching their technique, and they get hurt, and that's what happens.
Right, because I know that Beth Chamberlain, your former guy in my co-star, had a kettlebell program that she did for a while, and I thought to myself of trying that, but I thought with all those weights, it's going to just give me too much strain and stuff like that.
You just got to take it. You've got to take it very slow and just be you know aware. And if you have access to a fitness professional, a really good qualified one, that would be really beneficial. It's like a doctor, a lawyer, and whatever the thing that we need in society. That's one thing that we need so badly. It's so badly. Unfortunately, people put that in the back burner. They don't look at their health as like the most important thing, and that's why we're suffering right now with such an epidemic across the country.
Okay.
And we're trying to keep things in perspective and cost effective for people as well.
Well, that's great, and you've been a lot of help with those tips, and I wanted to say it was a pleasure to talk to you, and I just am glad I was able to call in because I'm happy to be involved, and I look forward to talking with you real soon.
Okay, the pleasure is mine. Take care.
And I look forward, Carly, to talking to you later this week, whether it be tomorrow or Friday. So I'll look forward to talking to you then. All right, have a good day.
You too.
All right.
Okay, Bobby, have a great day. Okay, next. Oh, I got a question. Do you ever feel, I'm kidding when I say this, Mark. You want all my children, one life to live, guiding life. All of the soaps have been, you know, gone. And,
right.
You know, you want, I'm joking. I'm being funny. What did you think of all three soaps you were on, you know, being canceled? Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, it's just, the business is predicated upon, you know, making money and cutting corners. And, you know, it's cheaper to produce other shows, talk shows. Now, I don't watch any of those. The soap genre was very interesting because it actually had a story that went on, you know, in the daytime. Very, very interesting. You know, they've kept a few of them around, I know. But it's unfortunate because what you have now is I don't watch reality. I have never watched a reality TV program. What you've got now is just, I call it fluff. You know, I call it the dumbing down of America. And that's basically what we're spoon-fed. But I'd love to see them come back. So, and hopefully they can do that in the internet.
Well, yeah. And my other question before I bring on my calls, how was Booking on Home Improvement? I remember that episode. And, you know, I watched episode of Home Improvement.
I worked with Tim Allen. Just incredible. Great. They're a great cast. Very welcoming. Most of the shows that I do, I do guest stars and work with Ray Romano, which is a huge, you know, Patty Eaton and those things. But just, you know, just great experiences. Being able to speak to Peter Boyle, who subsequently passed away, but Philadelphia guy. I've been really fortunate enough that every show that I've worked on, I usually do top of show, and you get to meet new people who are very artistic, obviously, and you get to do something. You get to play cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, and that type of thing. Not to be politically correct, but the things you pretended to do when you were a kid, it's a lot of fun, and I can't. You know, looking back on all the shows that I've done, I've had great experiences on all of them.
Yeah, and my last question before I bring on my calls, will you ever want to go back to daytime, like on Y&R, B&B, Days of Our Life, General Hospital?
Sure. If the right thing came up, absolutely. If you get an opportunity to play, it's always fun. Of course, I would.
Awesome.
I'd be amenable to it. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will see what Carly can do for you. David, you're on the phone.
Ah, Carly, finally. How are you?
I'm good, sweetie. How are you?
Life goes on. Yes. It's interesting that you brought up the question of One Life Live and All My Children, all the canceled soaps. Yeah, that's the thing. If I had the money or I married into money, I would invest every penny into getting those shows back on the air. I just don't have the cash, but I have tons and tons and loads of ideas, and I would love to have you back on One Life Live and All My Children if I had my brothers and if I had the money and power to do so. Just so you know that there are people who are interested in bringing the shows back, but there is a lack of ability to do so.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, I look at it as a lack of hindsight. You've got shows that you've got even Ryan's Hope. If you went back that far, you've got shows that are very compelling, and
Yeah, and that's another thing. I would love to see Ryan Philippe back on One Life to Live as the character he was playing. I'd love to have him back on the show. I was part of the Save the Soaps movement along with a lot of other people, and we did petitions and we did everything, and we got the shows on the air, well, not on TV, but with plastic parts, and then this all legal and financial issues started coming up, and now all the rights are tied up. And there are actually Plastic Parts is in bankruptcy, and they owed money to Erica Slezak and a lot of other people who in good faith got involved. And so now there's some issues there, and yep. I would love to see all that straightened out. You know, seriously, I'd love to get both sides of the room, tell ABC to pay what Plastic Parts is owed, so Plastic Parts can pay off their debt and get back on track, because it all snowballed. Because of the stuff that was going on between Plastic Parts and ABC Disney. Personally, I would love to see ABC bought up from Disney and brought back as an independent. Because
we can all wish for a lot of things.
I mean, if I had my brothers, I'd buy up ABC. Because, you know what I'm saying? If I had my money, if I had the money to do so. I don't have Buchanan money or Lord money, but I do dream of it.
Well, you know, I tell you, there are certain things you can do artistically. One of my screenplays I will be putting out as a not a book. I'm going to keep it in screenplay format, actually. So I love good. What you're talking about is I love good storytelling. I love compelling storytelling, and I do a lot of writing as well. There are ways to get things out there, especially right now with the internet
the way it is. Point out though that there is an interest there. There is a desire, but again, we just don't have the backing. We don't know. We don't have the organization or the backing to do this. But it is my dream to one day see it in my lifetime. Hopefully, within the next few years, brought back. And so this brings me to another thing I wanted to ask you about: working with Erica Slezak and with Robin Strasser. What was that like working with those great ladies?
Oh, once again, like I said, I've been very fortunate to play. You know, I didn't work very much with Erica, just because of the storyline.
You may not have worked on screen with her, but you got to know her a little bit.
Absolutely, the consummate professionals, all of them. I was fortunate to be around. Not only are great actors, but they've won multiple awards and. Professionalism and, they make your job so much easier. They make the atmosphere that much better to work around.
Yeah, listen, if you still have any contacts, any people from the shows, from All My Children and One Life to Live, please spread the word and ask them if they would mind coming on the show. This, as far as I'm concerned, this place is a second home for the show. For One Life to Live and All My Children and every one of our other fans who love the show. Please.
Okay, that's one thing about soap fans. They are very, very loyal, and that's a market that really, should be kept intact. But, we'll see what we can do.
because the thing of it is, if we can some way be able to help, again, a lot of this stuff is tied up in legal stuff, so even if we had the money, I don't know where the legal stand. I'm having trouble trying to figure out where things stand on that. I've tried to contact Plastic Park on the subject, but I couldn't even get past the receptionist on that.
There are a lot of gatekeepers, and that's the way the business is. It's very hard. And like I said, the only way you can really do work on this is to bind together. Hopefully, at some particular point, somebody will listen. And they'll get some of the stuff back on the air, but
it should never be taken off the air. And I had nothing wrong with what Plastic Parts was doing. In fact, the writing was phenomenal, stellar, with the Plastic Parts relaunch project. That was phenomenal. But the only problem was the financial and legal issues between ABC and Plastic Parts, and that was where I think things got soured.
I totally agree. Well, we have to take out the call, buddy.
Okay. All right. Just want to let everyone know, though, that the Plastic Plus relaunch of the shows, All My Children and One Life to Live, those, even though they're not making new episodes, those are still available to watch on iTunes and Hulu. For anyone who has not caught up on what was going on there, they can see it. It's still on there on Hulu.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
I will put you back on hold. Thanks. Thanks, David.
Thanks.
Bye, David.
Take
care.
Okay. Well, there you go. Okay, and let's see. Another David. Hey, David.
Hello, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a big fan of your work.
Thank you.
What would you like to work from Issa? Phil Carey.
Pardon me?
What would you like to work with Phil Carey, Issa Buchanan?
I didn't quite get the question. I'm sorry.
What would you like to work with Phil Carey, Issa Buchanan?
Phil Carey. What
would you like to work with him?
I don't know much. Phil Carey?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Working with Phil Carey up in the show.
Yes.
We didn't really work together all that much, to be honest with you. He was really more or less in or out. He had different schedules a lot of times, and our storyline really wasn't predicated upon working with like either Erica or whatnot. But once again, all the actors were like a family. And I constantly respect, like I said, and even speaking to them, you get some great stories and about their past and what they've been through and how they got to where they are. So the whole thing has been the experience of working with all those wonderful actors. It's just I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I want to tell you, I'm born and raised in Philadelphia too.
Pardon me?
I'm from Philadelphia too. I was born there.
Philadelphia too.
Oh, good for you. Did your brotherly love. There you go.
Yeah. Eagles fan all the way.
Yep.
David, do you have any more questions?
No, I think anything with that.
Thank
you for talking.
Thanks, David.
All right.
Okay. My best friend and my host of the show. Maggie, you on there?
Hi, Mark. Hi, you're early. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's wonderful that you spent the time with us. Soap actors are the greatest because you put everything into your craft. It's not like you just go to work and just read some lines or it just... It touches people. It touches our lives.
It is a tough genre to work in. We do, look, we're doing like a movie a day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes on Guiding Light, we were doing like at times when we had to get scripts in the can, we were doing like two or three scripts in a day,
mm-hmm.
and that's a lot of material to digest mm-hmm. and put forth a good product. It's a little different doing, sitcoms are a lot different. Our dramas are different. It's all about camera. It's all about, master shots and close-ups and whatnot. But it's a lot different. In a soap, you don't have, I remember Grant Kramer telling me, a guy in Light, saying that if you screw up, make sure you screw up big time and drop the ball because they'll keep the take. So I learned that very early that if they'll keep the take because they'll keep going. So you had to be on cue. You had to be ready to go. And they needed to get that stuff in the can as quickly as possible. And that's why sometimes it's tough writing for a lot of those shows. Sometimes you get good material. Sometimes you get okay material. You take with anything that you have. A good movie, a B movie.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Baldwin, I remember a famous quote from Alec Baldwin saying that, if you get a mediocre script, mm-hmm. all of the actors out there are on their A game, you're still going to get a mediocre product.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, you know, a lot of it comes down to the writing. Well, a lot of it comes down to the writing.
A lot of it.
And that's really, you know, you've got to produce when you've got a great storyline. I remember the storyline of Guiding Light with Hayden, Lizzie, who played Lizzie, was just a wonderful storyline, and they wrapped that up so nicely. And
okay.
That was a great experience for me, working with Hayden when she was very young.
Very.
So, yes, yes. But it is. But we. Yeah. But that once again, I said the soap fans are just so loyal, and I still have people come up to me out here in New Jersey going, "Oh, I loved your work," and you know, it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. It really does.
It should be that way. Because you guys put your whole heart on the screen every day, and you're part of our lives. You become, you know, because you're.
Yeah.
Well, it takes you away from the things that you might be thinking about, you know, in everyday life, and it's a vacation, a little mind vacation for you, you know, and
exactly.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's, you know, look, soaps try, they try to, and at times they accomplish really good storytelling. So you, it can't be wonderful all the time, but they at least took the time and the effort to put together an original story, which is not a reality type of a thing. I don't want to watch somebody on TV. I could care less. I mean, I don't watch any of that stuff, but
me either.
I'd rather watch, you know, someone's putting together a story. What's more compelling than anything else is actually watching two people in the back of a room have a conversation together. The dynamic between those two people is more compelling than any kind of fluff you can put up on the screen. Because that's
exactly.
Real life. That's real life. And that's what, you know, you want to see what's motivating these people. You want to look at the dynamic that, you know, how's their relationship? You know, everybody has these subtle nuances, these things that they carry around with them. And it makes great TV to just listen to that repartee between people when you've got some good dialogue and a really good story. It really is.
And that's why we follow you, because you touched our lives with the storylines that you had.
Well,
you're all compelling storylines. You're welcome.
Thank you. Well,
but the football movie really gets me. I gotta see that.
Yeah, hopefully they get
exactly.
It in. Hopefully, you know, once it goes into that other world, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, they're going to pick it up again and show us.
And, Mark, we thank you for coming on, and we hope you come back once your movie and once everything is finished.
Okay, my pleasure. It's been my pleasure.
Okay, please keep in touch. Email me when your new product is coming out.
I will.
Many thanks
to everybody.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow. Thank you, Carly.
You're welcome. Okay, we are only going to talk 2 more minutes, Maggie knows why.
Mm-hmm. I got a frog.
What?
I got a frog in my throat.
Oh. You want me to kill the frog? No. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for coming on the show. And we will be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, West Coast time, with Nathan Buraldi. He helps out on ZH and Modern Family and everything else. So he will be on, so please call back in then and enjoy you Tuesday. And was it in Dr. David? You can text me later. And other David, I will let you know. I will send you a message reminding you to come on.
Okay.
And everything. And, you know, Maggie, I will talk to you in a minute. And, okay, thank you, everyone, for calling in. And we will be back tomorrow, Wednesday night, at 6 p.m. Western. It's West Coast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Get you there. Thank you. Take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.